age before beauty in that order. So please do come up and share your memories.
Because he said I looked like Boris Johnson on a bad day. Which is a revelation, because I didn't know that Boris had good days. Anyway, I won't do well with this. I really won't. Don't be embarrassed by me. I think it was Arthur who called me and asked me if I would be willing to be Joe's pastor of the year. Was it you, Arthur? Yeah. And I had already met Joe. I met him when he was about 4 in Sydney, because every time I went to Australia, twice a year back then, I would meet with the Servants of Jesus and the Penders. I saw the Penders there. But it had been since he was 4. And I got together with Joe, and he was everything I expected him to be. He started off by saying, "Why do we do this? We shouldn't do things this way. Why do we do this in the sort of spirit? This isn't the right." And I loved it. I know Arthur had been searching for someone to be Joe's pastor leader, because there are a lot of people who don't find it so easy when a guy you're trying to pastor goes after you like that. But I loved it. I mean, he was direct. He was clear. I knew where we stood. And the truth is, every time Joe said something like that, was because he wanted to be convinced. I mean, he gave me a list in that first meeting of the 13, I think it was, issues that he had with the Holy Spirit. He also told me that he and Katrina wanted to make their public commitment now. That was Joe. And I loved it. I had no idea he told me a bit here and there, but I only discovered by doing my own research how seriously ill Joe was. He didn't complain. He just didn't complain. And he had a lot to complain about. Day to day, his illness was serious, but he didn't let it stop him. He went to work. Nobody would have gone to work in his condition that I know of, but he did, and he served in the community. He cared for people. I had to do research to find out how serious this was. hospital afterward. But no, I'm going to be out for a couple of weeks, and 10 days, probably 10 days. And then we'll get started. He wanted to get started with Antioch Youth and all that. He didn't complain, didn't think about himself. He didn't. And he cared for people. It was only after he died that I began to hear all these stories of things that he did. My goodness. I mean, the people that that he served, that he went after. Just the small thing, the dinner that he put together for Ralph, a marriage for their engagement, which is all Joe's doing, cooking everything, and in COVID, trying to figure out how you can get a whole bunch of people together. It was amazing. Amazing. People he evangelized. I have to say something on behalf of the NHS. I mean, I'm an American. Americans don't like socialized medicine, right? We got a phone call that morning. They said that Joe's heart had stopped. We went to the hospital. I think I got a call, I think, from nursing. I'm not sure. But we went to the hospital. We assumed that we would be standing out on the pavement outside praying for him. Because of COVID. But they let us in to the ICU. A whole bunch of us. And then when we became too many for that, we were out in a stairway with all those doctors and nurses going by. There we were, praying and singing and not wearing masks. Nobody ever said anything. They let us do it. So I love Joe. Took me, I mean, I can't remember what he was like when he was 4 years old, but when I got to be his pastor leader some years later, it took me about 5 minutes or so to decide I love this guy. I just made a mistake. I said, I wouldn't do. I looked over there. So that's all Mr. Graham, that we had Joe as our brother, as a member of Antioch for a short while, a blessed while. He was a man of God. And I know a lot of people haven't had him.
Katrina, who he adored, and so we were asked to have him, and he became part of our family and lived with us for 2 years, and got married out of our home, and he sort of adopted us as his, you know, second English family after the Doyles, and we were very touched by that, and by his commitment to us, and I'm going to let David say, David can't be with us today because he's got two singing commitments in Cambridge, but he's written some things. I'm gonna he'll say it better than I will, but he was just very much loved by all our family. And I when he was 30, he allowed us to, allowed Katrina to arrange a birthday party. Oh, you arranged it. Oh, that's right, you did, yes. And Joe never wanted any fuss, Emma, ever, you know. He allowed, you know, he did that, and we did manage a few honorings then, which was, you know, not easy to do, but I remember saying then that I really saw him, you know, I saw a leadership in him. And it was very much a leadership based on living the kingdom of God. He lived the kingdom, he lived for Jesus. I found him constantly challenging in the way he lived and loved, and you know, he didn't, you know, possessions weren't big for him. He lived simply and he gave away. He's very, very generous. And he also just loved the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And he wouldn't shout about this because he didn't speak about anything he did, but he would only, he had long journeys to work, always like 2 hours on the bus, and again, never complained. But he would often, on the 195, on the way, I'm not sure that's the way there or home, but he would get up and he would speak to the bus about Jesus, about the gospel, and, you know, I would never do that. It was so, you know, he just was so, so brave. He didn't mind what people thought. He spoke with love. He spoke because he loved Jesus. And I found him constantly challenging in just the very best way. And I had a few opportunities to sort of see Joe in, you know, in the mission sort of situation. And one of them was in he loved doing Alpha in YPO. He led mainly in Alpha, and he was often leading a discussion group, and these were always the groups to be in. You know, there was a lot of discussion, and he would just host it. And I mean, Joe loved arguing, but he made it possible for others to argue and to feel at home, whatever they, you know, whatever they believed, and created community. He also, I had the chance to be with him during the Turning Mission. We were sort of on the streets of Acton. One of the times I went out, I was with Joe. And it was lovely being with Joe. He was just so straightforward. He led people to Jesus very simply. One of them was a woman from Hillingdon. And there was nothing, you know, no great eloquence, just simply God's Spirit resting on him. And it's so lovely to be around that. And during this time, we got a bit of hassle from different people. And he just said to me, Claire, don't worry about that. You know, we're following Jesus, that's what happened to Jesus. And I was like, okay, yes, that's true. It was really good. And he was just very generous, you know, with his time, with youth, with everyone who he knew. And we were involved in doing an Alpha marriage course, and he was coming from the furthest, and he would come early and help us set up. You know, he was just very, very generous and everything. Joe, in some ways, you wouldn't necessarily think of him as eloquent. He had his broad Aussie accent. He sometimes mumbled a little bit, but I don't know if any of you had the chance to hear him teach. He spoke with the grace of God on him. He spoke well. I heard him on several occasions. One of them was in an Alpha course when he was speaking about healing, and he spoke, you know, with great faith and conviction about healing. He'd seen it in his own life, he'd witnessed it on mission. But he also spoke that God doesn't always heal, and God is God. You know, he spoke very, really well. And then, of course, you know, they had too many things to say at once. He had the very difficult thing of, you know, the cancer coming back, and that really difficult journey, you know, not least for his faith, having seen God, you know, heal him in an early part of his life. And he, you know, he trusted God. It was a very difficult journey, But he trusted God, and he, you know, God was God for him. And my last two visual images of Joe, one was him just standing so happily with Katrina outside Mass at St. Bernadette's just before he went in for his final operation. But the other one was just before, and we had the worship band, including Katrina, doing a beautiful job as we were singing. And everybody was sitting, and Joe just stood up, you know, presenting himself to Jesus. He was all Jesus's. And that image, you know, I know where he is. We know where he is. He is with the Lord fully. And I often ask him to pray for things. But it was lovely being in Hillingdon with Joe as well. We were, you know, we didn't have long of us being there with him, but he was very welcoming. When it got to lockdown, he was, you know, way before we did things in Antioch, he got us doing things in Zoom, and he had such a heart for community, for building community. I want to say one thing, and then I want to read David's thing. My other final thing is just, I'd like to honour Katrina, because I think it's the one thing that Joe would have been happy about. You know, he didn't want attention on himself, but he really loved Katrina. And I just wanted to honour you, Katrina, for your courage, for going through this time, for your just allowing us to be alongside you, just the way you are with God. You are very generous with God, just as Joe was. Love you very much. We're all alongside you. And let me finish with David's words, because they are actually much better. So, he wrote this today. It's been easy. He told me not to read it too fast. So. It's been easy to situate myself in this time last year. The changing seasons, the days getting longer and darker, have been taking me back to last November, when Joe was fighting for his life, and we were praying alongside him and waiting anxiously for an update about him. I can picture myself sitting on the train to King's Cross in tears on the way back to my family, to Katrina and the Doyles, after the news broke. But it's been happy remembering a few things about this very special chance I had to live with him and his role in my life. All of you know that Joe was a unique and extraordinary personality. He was unattracted to this world, and so inhumanly different to what people thought of him. Somehow Joe achieved what each of us have tried to again and again, which was to be totally determined by his Christian conscience and to put everything else in its right place below it. I always loved witnessing it when Joe met someone new at first. They would be a bit put off by his seemingly callous or just argumentative demeanour. But then inevitably, they would come to see just how generous, humble, and self-sacrificial he was, and that this was expressed in truer and more enduring ways than just being cordial to talk to. And that was exactly how it was when I met him, when he moved into our house just over 8 years ago. My siblings were both away at the time, and he decided that he would be my older brother instead. Joe deliberately made time for me and became my tennis opponent, my mentor, and my first and only personal football coach. Not that I got off lightly. We once had a vigorous argument about the definition of a triangle, which, being a Euclidean geometry enthusiast, I was indignant about, but it couldn't stop him wading in. Joe, as far as I understood, loved making up traditions. These could be trivial, like always ordering scampi at a fish and chip shop, or visiting Wenzel's every morning on his way back to work. Some of us in Hillingdon now like to visit our local branch after church on Sunday in memory of him. But Joe also made profound ones as well. My favourite being the Christmas Eve celebration he would host at his house from as soon as he was married, which many of us were guests at, and which ended with a community-led midnight mass that he championed. He really, really loved Antioch and even Hillingdon. I don't know why I said even. Joe was a spiritual giant, and thinking about it, no one else has had more of an impact on me in that area or challenged me more than he did. This was partly because of the very bold acts of faith he made and his experience of healing and prophecy in daily life, as well as the most extraordinary angelic visions. In one of my most abiding memories of him, we sat on the grass outside a worship service at David's tent, and he tried, with the best language he had, to articulate to me what he was seeing, heaven opening, spiritual beings with voices and names, and lots more I won't do a better job of describing. But more than those things, what struck me, and still strikes me, was how ordinarily he viewed them as being, how little he chose to boast about it, even to the point of not mentioning it. The spotlight was never on him. This is going to end abruptly, partly because I was saying, please send it. Because there is so much more to say about Joe, and so many stories to retell, and apparently so many we don't realise happened. I'm so thankful for his role in my life, and the impact he made on me, and I miss my friend.